Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Ezekiel. It's on page 917, and we read Ezekiel 33, verses 7 through 20. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by them. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 10. It's on page 1225, and we read verses 1 through 13. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. They drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1115. And we read Luke 13, beginning at verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, where some people come to Jesus and they tell him about something horrible that has happened. Pilate, while people were gathered to worship, slaughtered many of the worshipers. And they tell this to Jesus, but they get a very unusual response. "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." This is our text. Sometimes our human nature leads us to conclusions, that is, our sinful human nature, that aren't quite in sync with God's reality. For instance, when a tragedy often strikes, our tendency is to think that it's not deserved. You're driving down a road. Drunk runs a red light, hits your car, somebody dies. You just retired for 2 weeks. You have a heart attack and die. A beautiful young couple has a child who's stillborn. Situations like those and countless others we could probably dream up tend to result in people going, "Why, God? Why did you let that happen to them? They didn't deserve that." And it's precisely that sort of situation that was brought to our Lord Jesus today. And while that is the normal reaction of people, I can think of at least one class of individuals that react in a far different way, not only to the tragedies of others, but the blessings they're experiencing themselves. After lengthy battles and wars, there's often a group of soldiers who, when they return safely home, suffer from something called survivor's guilt. They're asking, "Why me?" But not in the sense that we were just discussing. They've seen many fellow soldiers die. Sometimes men that they regarded as better than themselves. Individuals who had sacrificed themselves so that they could live. Individuals who guided them, helped keep them safe, who perhaps had more to go home to. They die, and a particular soldier lives to go home. And particularly often when they struggle at home, trying to readjust, if you will, to normal life and fail, they ask this question, "Why me? Why did I live? That other person died." In his response to the people, the crowds that had raised an issue before them, Jesus somewhat takes the latter point of view. "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Jesus takes the position, and not a normal human reaction, that when we suffer, we are actually getting what we deserve. He goes beyond and tells them another story. A bunch of people on whom a building fell. You know, nobody plans to walk around a building and have it fall on them, do they? Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What do we deserve for our life? It is the gloom, the doom, the tragedy that we so often do witness living in this world. And in fact, far worse than anything we can experience in this world, what we ultimately deserve for our lives is nothing but hell itself. But the fact that we aren't there, and that while tragedies do go on in this world, we are often spared them, is because God is giving us an opportunity. We are reading in our Old Testament lesson for today that God doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn to Him to be saved. God is giving us an opportunity. And not only for us to be saved, but for us to bring the good news of salvation to those who are still entrapped by sin. And Jesus follows his warnings in verses 1 through 5 with a parable of a man who had planted a fig tree in his garden. And he came out to look at it and see what it was doing. You know, on my first call, we were in a place called Emmett, Idaho, and it was orchard country. And you could always tell the trees that were in trouble with the owner, because they were the most beautiful trees in the orchard. They were all leafed out. Their branches were not hanging down heavy with fruit. They looked extraordinarily healthy. The only problem is they didn't have any fruit on them. All their energy was going into just building themselves up. Sometimes the way we live in this world, it's as if we exist just to build ourselves up, to take care of ourselves, to build our own little kingdom, if you will, collect the things that we like to collect, entertain ourselves the way we like to be entertained. Our time, our energies, and even our treasures essentially revolve around building ourselves up. My friends, that's not why God put us in this world, and it's not why He leaves us here. He leaves us here in order to produce fruit. Not to build our own little kingdoms, but to build His. And accomplishing that work sometimes is not easy. When you go into an orchard and you find a tree that is really putting forth fruit, it's probably not the prettiest tree in the orchard. It's usually the ugliest tree. The leaves are starting to shrivel a little earlier than some of the other trees because all of its energy is going into building fruit. Its branches are usually so weighted down that they have to take sticks to prop up underneath the branches to keep them from breaking. It looks like a sad little tree, but it's accomplishing wonderful things in terms of bringing forth fruit. To be a fruit-bearing Christian is not always easy. And sometimes our greatest opportunities to bear forth fruit are not when things are going well in life, but when things are difficult. To say that you believe in the hope of the resurrection and you're not afraid to die When you're 35 years old and you can run the 100-yard dash in 11 seconds and you can jog for 10 miles and bench press 220 pounds and on and on and on, is not too impressive. When your body is racked with cancer, you're down to 95 pounds. And some friend or some health professional comes in and asks how you're doing, and you smile at them and you say, "I'm doing just fine. I'm not afraid to die. I know what's going to happen to me." From a worldly point of view, you may look weak. But wow, what fruit is being put forth? What strength is on display? Not for your own earthly benefit, but for the sake of the kingdom of God. It's quite common when tragedies occur in life, kind of like the tragedies that were brought to the attention of Jesus, for us to utter things like, "Why me, Lord?" Or, "That's not fair." But the real questions God would ask us to be asking of Him is, "Lord, you've left me in this world. You've allowed this to happen in my life. What can I do with it to serve you? How can I be a witness to you in the midst of this tragedy?" Those are the kinds of questions that come from a repentant heart. A heart that knows that our righteousness is not what matters before God, because He has already given us a perfect righteousness in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What He wants from us is our hearts, our desire to follow Him. And for whatever days He gives us on this earth, a willingness to produce fruit in His name. God grant that in the days that God continues to give to each and every one of us, our hearts will continue in repentant love for Him and His kingdom. And that as tragedies will come our way, that we not blame God, that we not think some injustice has occurred, but look to Him for help and guidance and support, and ask Him what we can do, even with the tragedies of life, to bear witness to Him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.